I put out a piece a few months ago where I was suggesting that TV doesn't have a, or broadcast TV doesn't have a problem with social media short form platforms as a competitor so much. I reckon it's got a longer term problem with short form platforms as a something more dynamic, something more fundamental happening, where in the longer run, we younger generations, newer generations of media consumers just become so used to really short form content pushed at them by algorithms that that almost becomes the norm in media consumption. And that, to your point about TV effectiveness, doesn't it hinge on that understanding that we've had for many decades now of understanding TV content, different genres of TV content, the whole mechanics of how the ad breaks work, understanding that value exchange, you get some free telly in exchange for some ads. Netflix and others might be struggling with that right now. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily ask you for a view on whether TV has a longer term problem with TikTok and short form platforms in particular. But if you were to test that, if I kind of had loads of money and commissioned you and Les to test that, how would you go about it? Would you have any presumptions about how that the results might go?
Well, I mean, what we do know, and I think TikTok's interesting, is it does, I mean, people seem reluctant to fully publish their results, but I think what TikTok is showing us is that really engaging content on those kind of short formats can be very, very seductive to people. But we also know that young people don't exclusively watch that. You know, they also watch films. They also, you know, they also binge on series and so on and so forth. So I don't buy the fact that just because TikTok seems to be reinventing online video in many ways and coming up very fast on the outside, that that means that that is all and only what young people will in future want to watch. I think it's just an important part of their lives, and that's the way it will go. I don't see that fundamentally changing. People like, you know, engaging, immersive kind of media. Sorry, I use the word immersive, which I hate, but that is what we're talking about. And the fact is that you can't deeply get someone engaged in any kind of piece of entertainment in 15 or 30 seconds. You can do it. It in a sense, it's a chewing gum. It's something we like from time to time. It's something that we use in part of our day and enjoy. But there are other things that we also get stimulus from. I mean, there's an enormous amount of time spent by an awful lot of people, particularly young people, on gaming these days. Now, that is not short form. These are big, serious time commitments. So, you know, there's plenty of evidence that the market isn't going short attention spans. And I don't buy that at all, actually. I just think it is something that gives us some quick uplifts and quick and easy little smiles. And we like a bit of that in our day.
Yeah. And you mentioned something very interesting just now about we touched on maybe perhaps a bit of inherent bias in marketing on maybe people living in wealthier households where they just aren't exposed to advertising as much. And, you know, you could uncharitably describe advertising as a tax on poorer people. I mean, does that bear through in your effectiveness research as well?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as a tax on poorer people, but I mean, if you're basing your judgments on families where every room has a screen and every member of that family has multiple devices for accessing content, and they can all do it independently, then that is not, I would argue, typical of everyone in this nation. We have an awful lot of people who are extremely hard up and getting more so. So I think it's very dangerous to make judgments about how young people spend their time based on some very affluent households in London in the southeast. And when you get out and talk to people, and certainly whenever I speak in Manchester, a lot of marketing and media people in Manchester rail against the London bubble. You know, but Manchester is a pretty damn wealthy city with a lot of affluent people. And if they see London as being in its own kind of little fantasy vortex, then you can bet your bottom dollar that that's even more the case elsewhere. So I just caution against that. I mean, again, to come back to this issue of it being a tax on poor people, I mean, it is just a great way of funding content. You know, it's the way social media's gone. I mean, when you have to remember when Zuckerberg first launched Facebook, you know, he announced the death of advertising. He said, you know, this is going to be the new way that brands get known, and you know, going to be shared amongst by people amongst people. Well, he pretty soon shifted to the advertiser-funded model, as many, many other businesses have. And I don't think that there is anything wrong with that. I think, as you pointed out a minute ago, Emma, that I think there is a value exchange that people understand. We get a lot of great entertainment, and in return for which we see some ads. And so long as those ads are, and this, of course, is a big and important point, so long as those ads are not too taxing on us, that they are not too dull, and they are not too rapacious of our data, I would say as well, then I think we'll roll with that. And that's always been the case. There is a serious issue about what I think, you know, 15, 20 years now of data-led performance marketing thinking has done to the quality of advertising. So I think that is the bigger risk here, that if we fill not just TV breaks, but any video advertising medium with really dull and unentertaining advertising, then of course people are going to question the value exchange. We need to get back to producing the kind of advertising that people not just don't mind seeing, but actually enjoy watching. And that, I think, is a terribly, terribly important thing.